Jayo Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Kopi Dana Balaba Griva Dari Chaya Griva Dari Kopi dana balaba, griva dari, jaya griva dari. Yasoda Nandana Raja Dhanaranjana Jaya Braja Dhanaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Dhanaranjana Jaya Braja Dhanaranjana Yamuna Tira Varachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Yamuna Tira Varachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Kopi dana balaba, griva dari, jaya griva dari. Kopi dana balaba, griva dari, jaya griva dari. Yasoda Nandana Raja Dhanaranjana Jaya Raja Dhanaranjana Yes, Oda, na, na, na. Raja, Janaranjana. Jaya, Raja, Janaranjana. Yamuna Tiravarachari Jayakunja Vihari Yamuna Tiravarachari Jayakunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Shri Asadaris Dushi Sriman, His Divine Grace, Lacey, Bhaktivedanta Swami Raj, Shri Prabhupada Kijai, Gaur Premanande, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Gauranga. Om Aganatvarandas Yaganandjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam. Yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurum vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagradatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sabadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Dvitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagapate Isha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyastra Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya I'm going to thank you for coming. I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And my name is Prahladananda Swami. Is anyone here for the first time? Anyone else? Looks like a educated group here in the Bhagavad Gita. So this is chapter 13, text number Text number 26. Again, there are those who are not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society. Because in modern society, there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears a transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya said that in this age, no one needs to change his position. But one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse, particularly the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back to Godhead, back to home. So the verse again, Anye tve vama jananthak shutpanye vyakupasate tepi chatitarantyeva mrityum shuti prayana. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamita Namane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Bacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya De Satarane. Here it mentions that the process of self-realization is very simple, but at the same time very difficult. It's very simple because all we have to do is hear from an authoritative person about the absolute truth. It's difficult because we don't like to hear, or we don't like to hear the right things. We are accustomed to hearing the wrong things. In modern society especially, everyone likes to hear about how they're going to enjoy in this material world, and how we're becoming empowered to becoming more and more controllers in the material nature, and how we're going to be able to enjoy it more and more as time goes on. And as we can see, most people are quite convinced that they're actually in control of the material nature to some extent, and that in the future they'll become even more in control of the material nature if they can just get a little bit more money. As Prahlad Maharaj said, money, money, sweeter than honey. That the professional soldier, the thief, or the merchant, he'll risk his very dear life to get some money. So money has become the standard of our ability to control the material nature, and we believe that if we utilize our money in certain ways, then we'll be able to enjoy the material energy, and that way we'll become happy. The Bhagavad Gita begins with the understanding that we're different from the material nature, and that we are spiritual, we're conscious, and that the material nature of which we're conscious is not the ideal object that we should try to enjoy, because as we're conscious of this body, we're not very satisfied by trying to enjoy the body. In other words, this particular body, or whatever body we're in right now, has certain problems, like there are certain miseries that accompany the body, the heat. Now it's a little warmer in Los Angeles. Maybe soon it'll rain or it'll become cold. The body itself, everyone's sitting here, we can see some people are against the wall. Some people are trying to sit up straight. Some people are half on one side and half on the other side. So the body is not a very comfortable vehicle. Some people sit on the floor and their legs hurt. Some people sit on the chairs and their backs hurt. In other words, something always hurts. And after listening to the lecture, you might even get a headache. Something hurts. And if we look around the room, we'll see maybe someone owes me some money, and this person, I'm looking. This person stole some maha from me yesterday, some sweets, and this person says something nice about me, and so many different friends and enemies, so many emotions flowing through our minds. In other words, the material world is a place of not unalloyed, uninterrupted happiness. Although that's what we'd like. An experience where we'd always be unlimitedly happy and it'll simply increase. But we're far from that right now, living in the material world. So why is it that the soul, because that's our basic principle of understanding, is that we're a soul. And it's not the Hare Krishnas or fanatic Hindus, and they keep on fanatically telling everyone that they're not their body, because that's their dogmatic philosophy. No, it is actually quite simple that we're not the body, because we've had so many bodies. And we'll have so many bodies in the future. As long as we're in the material world, we keep on changing our body, one body after another, but we ourselves within the body, we're always the same. Therefore, we were trying to be happy when we were 5, we were trying to be happy when we were 10, we're trying to be happy now, we're always trying to be happy. Whatever body we get, we're hoping it's going to give us some happiness. But the fact is, it never gives us very much happiness. But because the soul, the eternal soul, is by nature a servant or worshiper, therefore, in spite of whatever discomfort this body is giving us, still we love it anyway. In other words, this body that we're in is not us, but it has become our worshipful deity. Everyone loves their body. Ask anyone, who is your most worshipful object in this world? And they'll say, obviously, it's my body. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all? And immediately the mind will say, you're looking at him. So everyone loves their body. The amazing thing is that we're not the body. So actually we become a devoted servant of our body. It may embrace us or leave us brokenhearted, but still we love it anyhow. We wake up in the morning, we wake it up at a certain time, we give it Abhishek by taking a shower, we dress it, we feed it, we massage it, we pat it, we glorify it, we try and get other people to glorify it. And no matter what the body does to it, we love it. Only when it throws us, kicks us out, rejects us, and sends us to another deity to worship, only that moment do we have to give up our worship. One devotee once told me he was in Calcutta. He was in the Howrah railway station. And one man in India, many people walk on the railroad tracks, and there are many trains that come by. So this particular gentleman was walking on the railroad tracks. I don't know what he's looking for. And one train came by and cut him in half. This is India. And so one devotee came over and said, "Can I do something for you?" And the man said, "Do you have a cigarette?" In other words, his deity wanted a cigarette. Didn't matter, it was only half the deity, but whatever the deity wanted, he had a supply. But we're not the body. We're actually a soul, and that we have a much superior object of worship. But we have to find out what that object of worship is. First of all, we have to learn how to hear about the right information. That in the material world, because we think that this body is the ultimate, or at least that's what we've heard, and that there is no other goal in life other than to work hard in order to enjoy this body to the end of life, namely by eating, trying out all kinds of food, going to all kinds of restaurants, sleeping as much as possible, defending, and trying to have as much varieties of sex life as possible. People think that that's the ultimate goal. That's what they've heard. In other words, people are trying to come to the platform of becoming completely absorbed in sense gratification. So we have many examples of persons who have reached the perfection of sense gratification and what happened to them. For instance, if you want to eat unlimitedly, then the human form of life is not that form, which is the form where you can eat as much as possible and be happy. So the perfection of eating unlimitedly is to become a hog. Because if you become a hog, you can eat anything. In India, we've seen in India, I think anyone who's gone to Vrindavan especially, they don't have sewers. They have the professional sanitation there are the pigs. They work for free. They only work for food. You just have to give them some food and they work for you. So, there they have open sewers. And the hogs, they sit in the sewers sometimes, up to their neck, and they open their mouth and everything just flows in. And they're very happy. They all have big smiles on their faces. They don't have to worry about getting fat. No one complains. No one tells them that you're getting fat. You have to go on a diet. No, they can eat as much as they want, and they're quite satisfied. If you want to sleep unlimitedly, then better to become a bear. Here in America, they have so many different types of bears. And for 6 months out of the year, you can go to sleep and you don't have to worry about alarm clock or oversleeping. No one will wake you up. If you want to have sex life, then of course the pig is also a good example. In India, or anywhere. The pigs, they have sex with anything. Anyone or anything that moves, the pig will have sex with it. Even if you're walking down the street and suddenly you see there's the pig is winking at you, then you have to start moving faster. And as far as defending, then better to become a tiger. So this eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that we're trying so hard in order to perfect our lives, this the animals have already perfected. A hog is on, practically speaking, it's on the platform of spontaneous sense gratification. Raganuga sense gratification. It doesn't need a psychiatrist for trying to figure out its sex life, or it doesn't need a doctor for indigestion. It's a perfect machine for unlimited sense gratification. You can eat as much as you want. You can sleep anywhere very peacefully. Sometimes in India you see that the animals, like the hogs or the dogs, they're sleeping right in the middle of the road. All the cars are moving, you know, India there is no speed limit. The only speed limit is when another car hits you head on. Then you slow down considerably. That's the only speed limit. But the animals, they sleep right in the road very peacefully. They don't worry about anything. So human beings are trying so hard to come to that platform unsuccessfully. So Krishna is so kind. He said, you're working so hard, so sincerely to become a hog. So here, you can get your 2005 hog body very quickly. Or if you like to fly in the air, you can become a bird. Or swim underneath the water, you become a fish. All these things are available. But Krishna also says, if we want to become happy, actually happy, if we want to become free from all our problems, the soul, who's eternal, has no problem. The only problem is this body. So our problem as a soul, our only problem is that we're identified with the body. Otherwise, we have no problem. Because we're eternal, we're by nature full of consciousness, and we're by nature happy. But because we identify ourselves with this body and with this subtle mind, therefore we think we have so many problems, and indeed, we're suffering because of all these problems we think we have. Therefore, here Krishna says, if we simply hear from the right source, with the right attitude, the right philosophy, then we can understand things more clearly. And if we put into practice those instructions, put into practice means if we accept that philosophy and simply desire that we become an instrument for Krishna, or allow Krishna to utilize what we think is our body or mind or words, we allow Krishna to utilize his body, his mind and his words in his service, then the result is we become free from our misconceptions of misidentifying ourselves with something we're not. We don't have to do anything extraordinary, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms here, jnane priyasa udapastana manta eva. We simply have to give up this tendency to try to figure out by ourselves how to improve the material world. Trying to improve the material world is just like going to a place where everyone's passing stool and bringing a plastic flower to decorate it. You may bring so many plastic flowers to decorate a place where everyone's passing stool, but still it's going to smell about the same thing. Doesn't matter how nicely it's decorated with plastic flowers. So trying to make plans to improve this material world is just a waste of time. But we're thinking that I have my contribution, I'm going to make this material world to make it a better place to live. No one lives here. It can't become better. The only way that the material world can become better is if the, especially the human beings within it, become aware of their spiritual identity. Otherwise, there is no progress. Prabhupada would say, it's just trying to solve material problems is just like trying to blow on a boil. You may temporarily, by blowing on a boil, forget about the pain, but as soon as you stop blowing, then at once it's there again. Therefore, Krishna advises we have to understand things clearly, that we're not the body. It is not a difficult philosophy, although for some people it's very difficult. One time I was distributing books at a college, and I was showing one person, Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a changing bodies. So I was showing him, your body's changing. I don't know if there's, in this book, maybe there's no changing body. They usually always, here we go. So I was showing him the changing body. You've had a little baby body, you've had this body, you've had this, but now you're in this body and your body will change. Actually, you're not the body. So the man said, well, that's great. You know, I never heard that before. You know, I'm actually not the body. He was actually quite enthusiastic. So I said, well, why don't you take this book and just give a donation? Mealy handed me back the book and said, well, I don't really need the book, but I'm not the body. You know, thank you very much. And he shook my hand and just left. So that's called Maya. Now, we're not the body. We're a soul within the body. It is so simple that anyone with any education can understand it. Because modern society means to make the most simple thing so complicated that after you get your PhD degree, that you can't understand anything simple. The only thing you can understand is what no one else can understand. And that's the only reason why they gave you a PhD degree. Because if you had any common sense, they never would have given it to you. So nowadays, common sense is very uncommon. But here Krishna is giving us the most sensible thing, that our body is changing, but we ourselves inside the body, we're not changing. And that if we want to become happy, we have to find that object of love and service which will actually make us happy. And it is not the body. Everyone has experience. No matter how much we've tried, very sincerely, we're not saying you're not sincere trying to serve our bodies. Everyone is very sincere. 100% dedicated. Every day, 24 hours a day. Imagine trying to work for someone that you had to serve them 24 hours a day, every day, for the rest of the body's existence. Would you do it? And the result is they just give you misery. So that's the body. We're such sincere servants. We're so loyal and faithful by nature that even we get a body where we have to work for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day during the year, for so many years, and all it rewards us with old age, disease, and death, then we get kicked into another body to work even harder, perhaps. We're suffering for so many miseries it's inflicting on us, but we're such faithful servants, in spite of that, we do it with even more determination. So Krishna is saying that there's another object of worship. And if we understand that object of worship and we put a little of our energy into that object, then we'll get a completely different experience, the experience that we're actually looking for. That is, we'll realize a life or an existence or at least a perception of real happiness. And if we continue hearing from Krishna and from his representatives, then we can learn how to utilize this present body, our present words, our present mind, in such a way is that our happiness will increase, in spite of whatever problems that the body may be going through. It is not that we can change the material energy. That's not possible. The material nature is inherently full of problems. But we can change our desire instead of trying to improve the material nature or to avoid the problems of material existence. We could try to utilize the body in the service of the proprietor of the body, Krishna, and therefore become free from our misconceptions of identifying with the body. And therefore all our problems will be solved. It sounds quite simple, and it is simple. But don't worry, Maya will make it very complicated. You don't have to worry, you're going to become self-realized too quick. Maya will make sure it's a nice, slow process. But we should remember that it is actually a very simple process. All we do is have to learn how to hear. Of course, we don't want to hear from anyone else except for our minds, because we think my mind has been with me through thick and thin. It's always told me that I'm a nice person, no matter what I did. No one else appreciated what I did or what I'm doing, but my mind is always appreciating. My mind always likes even the way whatever my body smells like, whatever my body does, whatever my body thinks, whatever my mind thinks about. Somehow or another, my mind is always appreciating. And therefore, anyone appreciates me, I appreciate it. So the mind is constantly talking to us, 24 hours a day, telling us what a nice person this body is. What a nice conception of life I have. There's no one else in the world exactly like you. You're very special, and other people who recognize how special you are, they're also special because they're in contact with someone who's actually really special. Because you've taken birth in this country, it's become worshipable. It's your country after all. And those who associate with you, those who live in the family, there's something special. And that, although they're not as special, but people who live in the same city, they're also special. And ultimately, we think we're the most special. So that's what our mind is telling us. And we think, well, this sounds really good. Tell me something else. You got some more to say? Yeah. Doesn't really matter who loves you, who doesn't love you. I love you. Other people may criticize you. They keep on telling you all these strange things like you're not me, you're not your body, you're not your mind. But don't listen to them. Because if you listen to them, what will happen is your hair will fall out. You'll become so poor that all you have to wear is bed sheets. Just see what happens if people listen too hard to these Hare Krishnas. They'll give you some strange name that even you'll have a hard time pronouncing. And you'll walk around with a smile because you'll become so bewildered and brainless. All you can do is smile. You can't do anything else. So that's the mind. That's what it's saying. But if we just hear from Krishna and those who are repeating what Krishna says, then Prabhupada said, even though we're in a dark room, the darkness can't, if you light a match in a dark room, the darkness can't put the match out. So we simply hear the philosophy, although it seems quite simple, actually it'll become, or complicated, however it seems, but just by hearing from Krishna or from Krishna's representatives, then gradually everything will become clear and we'll see how nice everything actually is. So, thank you very much. I think we're supposed to stop there. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kor Premanande Haribo. Jai.